We're brave and gallant miner boys who work in underground. For courage and good nature, no finer can be found.
That's the voice of Mamie Kazera, who's with the Pulmonary Fibrosis Foundation talking. That's the voice of Pete Seeger singing from a CD called American Industrial Ballads, because it is Labor Day. The great Dot Coyle is also in here, our mutual friend. Pulmonary Fibrosis Foundation. I did a show, I think, last year about it, and it was really a revelation to me because I knew nothing about this. I do know something now, but I'm not going to tell the listeners. You tell them, Amy.
Okay.
What is the foundation?
So the Pulmonary Fibrosis Foundation was started in 2000. We're just located a few blocks away in Streeterville.
Yeah, right, right.
And we provide resources, educational material, and support to those diagnosed with pulmonary fibrosis and their families.
Pulmonary fibrosis, when it was explained to me, really scared me.
Yeah.
It is not, there's no cure.
Right.
It strikes 1 in 200 people over the age of 65.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't have the kind of high profile that many other diseases and troubles have. But you've done a remarkable job in just a few years to enlighten people. It also, and we have on the phone with us Dr. Greg Cosgrove, who's the chief medical officer. Greg, how are you? Thanks for taking some of your Labor Day holiday off to talk about this. How are you, and thanks for coming on the show.
I'm doing well, and thanks for having me. It's exciting to be given the opportunity to raise even more awareness about
it. Well, it's enlightenment that I'm searching for, and I vaguely remember last time when we talked about this that this is a sometimes tough thing to diagnose, is it not?
That's one of the hardest parts for patients and families. That oftentimes it is a protracted course because the symptoms are so common, cough and breathlessness. And a lot of times we attribute them perhaps to getting a little bit more overweight or perhaps a little bit older, but they should not cause those symptoms. And so oftentimes 6 to 9, even 14 months pass before an accurate diagnosis is made. And then once you understand the significance of the diagnosis, that comes with some frustration in terms of why did it take so long. And it speaks to what I think Amy would say, and our goal is to really try to enlighten not only the patient, but also the physician so that they know about this disease and think about it earlier in that diagnostic process.
See, I think that's a real key for you and your colleagues in the medical field to not slough this off as, well, you smoke, and of course you shortness of breath. You're 65, and you weigh 100 pounds more than you should. Of course, that is. Why do you think? And I'm not trying to indict the medical profession, but why do you think it is so hard? To my mind, and I'm no expert. I learned a lot about it last year, Dr. Cosgrove. But I'm thinking that. Wouldn't this be one of the first things that occurs to a doctor if someone came in with some of these symptoms? Because it is...
Well...
Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, I guess from the little bit biased perspective, we want people to think about this disease.
Sure.
There are many more common causes of cough and breathlessness that affect many more millions of individuals, such as... certainly asthma and COPD and rhinitis, and then certainly in this age group, we worry with breathlessness about coronary artery disease that may or may not be made aware of. So from a prevalence standpoint, oftentimes those diseases are considered and evaluated for early on. I guess what I would advocate for is, as we're thinking about the different causes of shortness of breath, and then we hone in on a specific age group and then perhaps exclude some of the more common diseases, this should come up higher on the list, especially, as you mentioned, in someone who smokes or,
sure,
more importantly, if they have a family history of lung fibrosis. And then just as importantly, if you listen to patients, they have what we call crackles or Velcro rails. So if a physician hears those crackles on exam, that should really highlight the possibility that, that this is a disease that patients may be experiencing, and it should be evaluated rapidly.
And Dr. Greg Cosgrove, Chief Medical Officer of the Pulmonary Fibrosis Foundation, can I ask you, how did you get involved in all of this? How did you become involved with the foundation?
Well, with the foundation, it was really through my work as a clinician and researcher here in Denver at National Jewish that caring for patients with this disease and advocating for it, going to the Hill and raising awareness, and then through common associations and then seeing the foundation grow, I continued to volunteer. And eventually, with the growth of the foundation, they asked me with several colleagues to come on board and serve as chief medical officer. And we have a wonderful team, including other medical team members from across the country. So I think it's really an evolution of a lot of hard work, both grassroots and through the people at the foundation. And it's exciting to see where we were, but more importantly, where we are now and where we hope to become in the future.
Let me ask you, and Amy, I am going to talk to you. I'm going to talk to you about the events coming up. But Greg Cosgrove, Dr. Cosgrove, as this has become, as awareness has become broader, has it spiked the number of diagnoses of these? Have there been more diagnoses from year to year as doctors are become more aware of this and start to look for pulmonary fibrosis?
I think one of the problems that we have is the ability to track those data in terms of a national database.
Sure.
So it is a little bit difficult to see the success of our awareness campaign, but certainly as time goes by and we have evidence that the diagnosis is being made more frequently, and either that's because more people carry the diagnosis or it's becoming a more common diagnosis, and it's part of why we formed a registry where 40 centers across the U.S. and patients volunteering, so we get better information about who's being diagnosed, their ethnicity, their demographics, regional variation, and then hopefully understand the natural disease course over time. And we've learned a lot in the past 15 years through clinical trials, but we need to learn a lot more, and so bringing the community together hopefully will accomplish the increasing awareness, but then also fund knowledge, but also allow for research to move forward as part of a care center network that being initiated, and then the patient registry that is really driving some of the science.
There is no cure for pulmonary fibrosis now, correct?
There is not. That's an important point, but I'd say there are many ways in which we can improve the lives and care for patients, whether it be oxygen or pulmonary rehab or treat comorbidities. And there are two approved therapies for one specific form of pulmonary fibrosis called idiopathic pulmonary fibrosis that delay the progression of the disease, which truly is the first step.
Sure. Do you think with this registry and as more people come into the registry and more studies are being done, do you think there is a potential for an eventual cure? That's a tough thing to put you on the spot for, but what do you think?
We talked about that. I think there is. I think just as we talk about a cure for cancer, which is a very complex set of different diseases, I would say the same thing happens in lung fibrosis. And to evidence that, my recent experience in a consortium of researchers, there were perhaps at least 30 different potential agents attacking the scarring process, all through different mechanisms. So that tells me there's tremendous hope in the future that once we identify the additional treatments that have tolerability and are safe, that hopefully it won't be just two therapies for lung fibrosis, but it'll be many, many more. Much the same as we think of cancer. There are many different treatments for the different forms of cancer. And since pulmonary fibrosis is caused by many different diseases, almost 200 different forms of lung disease, perhaps there are different treatments for the different causes of lung fibrosis. So I don't know, or I anticipate that won't happen tomorrow or within the next
a few days. On that incredibly optimistic note, Dr. Greg Krausro, the Chief Medical Officer of the Pulmonary Fibrosis Foundation, I'm going to let you go now to do whatever you have your Labor Day celebration, but you've been very, very enlightening, and I'll talk to Amy about some of the things coming up, including the September is Awareness Month and this upcoming first inaugural Pulmonary Fibrosis Foundation Walk. Thanks for enlightening me, and thanks for giving me hope, too.
Oh, thank you very much for having me on.
My pleasure, Dr. Greg Cosgrove.
Every morning at 4:30, you hear the cooks hop on the floor. It's hard times in
That's Pete Seeger. I'm Rick Hogan, filling in for John Williams, and I'm sitting here with Amy Kazira of the Pulmonary Fibrosis Foundation. She's part of the development team. We just had a fascinating talk with Dr. Greg Cosgrove, the Chief Medical Officer of the foundation. He was great, didn't you think, Amy?
Absolutely.
Yeah, he really is passionate and knowledgeable. This is, September is, and who would have known, Pulmonary Fibrosis Awareness Month. How does that come to be? I mean, how does that happen? Who makes it Awareness Month?
Well, we're doing a number of things within the foundation to highlight Awareness Month and to bring attention to this disease, like Greg had talked about. The more people who know, the more people who can get involved, and the better we can treat patients that are living with
it. He also, in a very hopeful note, that the more people who know and the more people who get involved, there one day may indeed be, I'm not trying to be hyperbolic about this, but there one day there might be a cure. What is the highlight of this Awareness Month, I think, at least for Chicagoans, is this Saturday in Lincoln Park.
It is. So we are absolutely thrilled to announce that we are launching a walk this year, which is great. It's the inaugural walk. So we've done something similar through a charity partnership in the past, and we had some really tremendous success last year. So we said, okay, now's the time. Let's do it. And we started our own walk. It's going to be this Saturday, September 9th in Lincoln Park, right by the Lincoln Park Zoo. So it should be beautiful.
How long a walk?
We have a 1 mile or a 3 mile course. And then we introduced something this year called the Lung Distance Lap. So it's literally a lap around the walk site for those who are on oxygen, in wheelchairs, or just want something that's a little bit more accessible so they can feel accomplished at the end of the day, too.
Isn't one of the bonuses of this kind of thing, sure, it is meant to raise awareness and to perhaps even raise money, but for people sharing this disease to be with others.
Exactly, to share their story.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the reasons that we've been so tremendously successful. Even in the first year, we've raised $125,000 so far and counting. We have more than 800 people registered. We're actually close to 900 at this point.
Is that right? From all over the country?
From all over the country, yeah. So of the 850 plus walkers we have right now, 435 of them are out of state.
Really?
37 states represented, 3 countries. So we've gone international in our first year.
Does that surprise you a little?
To be honest, a little bit.
Yeah.
We knew this was going to be successful, but I think the impact that we've made on the community really early on has been something that we were excited for, but I don't think we were necessarily anticipating. The sheer volume of people that have been registering is incredible, and the stories that have come out of this have been nothing short of inspirational and touching.
Give me a for instance.
Sure. So, for instance, I have a family who has been one of our top teams this entire time. They've got 35-plus people registered so far. His wife has pulmonary fibrosis. He's one of 14. His siblings are spread across the country from California to Florida to Michigan to Washington, and that's just off the top of my head from where they're coming. They've made this a family reunion, so they are all flying in, they are all supporting her, and they're all walking next to her as we launch this inaugural event.
Oh, my God, I'm almost crying.
Isn't
that
amazing?
Yeah, that really is amazing. You also have, and this is an important thing, too, there's a lighting campaign involved in this whole thing that
there
you
is.
People out there, whether you... And you can get involved and just get more information, because I'm telling you something. If you have shortness of breath and you're going to see a doctor for your annual checkup, I swear to you, I'd do it. I would say, hey, why don't you check and see if I have this? But go to pulmonaryfibrosis.org for all sorts of information about the walk. And also this lighting thing.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you saw the Wrigley, or I'm sorry, the Willis Tower over this weekend, if you saw it go blue, that was us. So our colors are blue, and we're blueing up for pulmonary fibrosis throughout the month. So the Willis Tower was this weekend. Palmer House Hilton is going blue for us. The Wrigley Building is September 16th through the 17th. And then we've also had a few other touch points in other cities. So Washington, D.C. is going blue, the Capitol Wheel at National Harbor. The day of our walk, actually. We have City Hall in Buffalo, NY, going blue on September 15th, and then the Parthenon in Nashville, which is where we're going to be hosting our summit in November, is also turning blue for us this month.
This is great. I'm sure that places like the Wrigley Building get asked all the time to, hey, you know, we want to do this here, we want to do that here. What do you think has allowed them to be so welcoming?
Absolutely. So we're a national organization. We have one office. We're headquartered in Chicago. So because our footprint is here, I think that kind of helps the cause a little bit. And I know we do have a presence in Washington, D.C. as we continue our push for advocacy as a foundation initiative. And then, like I said, our summit is in Nashville. So I think that helps be the catalyst.
You also have, and I remember interviewing him last year, you also have a very, very prominent spokesperson. Not a spokesperson as much as someone, a very prominent member, supporter. Is that a good way to put it?
Yeah.
Who is that?
Jordan Howard.
Yeah. You know that name? I mean, he's arguably, I read in Sports Illustrated, he's like the best back in football. Why is he involved? He told me last year, I remember.
Yeah. So his father passed away from the disease when he was young. He was 12 years old when he passed away. And this year was the 10-year anniversary of his father's death. So Jordan has been a phenomenal advocate for us in building awareness and raising funds as well. So last year, his dad passed away in January. So last January, he did a $10 campaign for his dad's 10-year anniversary and offered a $10,000 match. We had more than $10,000 come in. The Bears made a donation as well. And then Jordan's $10,000 made it over a $22,000 campaign for us.
And he is no simple. He is no, like, celebrity in word only, obviously. He comes over to the offices. He is deeply involved in this, isn't he?
Yeah, he spoke at our volunteer meeting last year, which was incredible, and I think really inspirational, especially to hear a story of how this came to be and the fact that he feels that he was drafted to Chicago is, and the fact that we're here isn't really a coincidence at all. It's more of a this happened for a reason, fate type of situation.
That's pretty amazing.
It is.
That is pretty amazing. Now, you've been with the Pulmonary Fibrosis Foundation for only about a year,
yep.
Right? Are you overwhelmed yet? You're dealing with this incredible walk. The response to this walk has been astonishing.
In a good way.
Yeah.
In a good way. I mean, it's been incredible to see these families come out. And when I accepted the offer to come and work for the Pulmonary Fibrosis Foundation, my then boyfriend's mother just started crying. And I was like, oh, gosh, what did I do? We weren't engaged at the time.
Yeah.
And her father had passed away from pulmonary fibrosis.
Oh, wow.
And my grandma was actually diagnosed a month ago.
Oh,
so
my God.
The fact that it's touched both sides of our family, I think, is a true testament to the number of occurrences and instances there are. And the more we talk about this, the more people I've heard say, oh, I know, or oh, this person has. And you hear these stories that become a spider web.
Yeah, I think that's true. And as Dr. Cosgrove was saying, too, that the more the doctors heighten their awareness of this whole thing, mm-hmm. that you're going to have, you know, next time you do this walk, I mean, you're obviously going to do another walk because this first
we
one
are.
Has exceeded all of your expectations.
It has.
Emmy Kozura of the Pulmonary Fibrosis Foundation, when are you getting married then?
New Year's Eve.
Oh, wow. Nice. Jordan Howard be there?
Wouldn't that be nice? I think my fiance would be really happy about that.
Yeah, I bet he would, too. Yeah, guys love football. Amy, congratulations.
Thank you.
Can learn much more about the Pulmonary Fibrosis organization at pulmonaryfibrosis.org. Dot Coyle, thanks a million for introducing me to this. This is the second time we've done it. And it just gets bigger, and it's an important cause. It's a terribly important cause. So look for the Wrigley Building to turn all blue on September 16th and 17th. The inside of the Palmer House, the arcade, is blue for the entire month of September. And look for people walking and rolling around Lincoln Park this coming Saturday. But go to pulmonaryfibrosis.org. Amy, thanks for taking some part of your Labor Day to spend some time in here.
Thanks so much for having
me. And thanks for your work for this thing, too. It's
Thank
a you. Cool, cool organization and meaningful, too.